part of the chapter that I want to focus on tonight is at the very end there in verse 24, where the Bible reads, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. What I want to preach about tonight is the subject of being friendly. Now go, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 5. This is a very biblical subject. There's a lot of scriptural teaching on this, and it's something that we as Christians need to work on in our lives. First of all, as you're turning to Matthew 5, let me read for you from Philippians 4:21. The Bible says, "Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you." Now, what does it mean to salute every saint in Christ Jesus? To salute them basically means to greet them or say hi to them, to acknowledge them. And the Bible uses the word salute actually over 50 times. And it used the word greet over 20 times in the New Testament. These are words that the Bible uses a lot, admonishing us as Christians to salute our brothers and sisters in Christ and to greet them. Now look what it says in Matthew 5, verse 47. It says, "And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so?" Right before that, the verse before that, he said, "If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So we look at this passage, it's saying, you know, don't just even salute your brethren or your relatives or the people that you're friends with. He's saying that's even what an unsaved person would do. You as a Christian should go beyond that, and you're saluting every saint, and you're saluting even people that are not saved. You're just a person who is friendly and greeting people. I mean, that means when you walk down the street and you walk by somebody, you greet that person. You know, when someone walks through the door of the church, you greet that person and you be friendly to that person. That's what the Bible is commanding us to do. Not only that, but it says in 3 John, you don't have to turn there, but in 3 John verse 14, it says, "But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name." So not even just to say, hey, just greet them like, hey, how you doing? Hey, brother, hey, how's it going? Hey, you know. But actually he's saying greet them by name. You know, actually greet that person individually. Actually care about that person. And if you look at the Apostle Paul, and you know, Brother Romero touched on this last Sunday night, but I want more about it tonight and go into more detail. He preached a great sermon last Sunday night about being thankful. He talked about being thankful for your brothers and sisters in Christ in the local church. And he talked about greeting people and knowing people. We need to care about our fellow church members. We need to love people and show them that by greeting them, saluting them, greeting them by name, not just treating them as if they don't matter. Now, if you would, go to Malachi chapter 3. The book right before Matthew is the book of Malachi. While you're turning there, I'll read for you from John 13, where it says in verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." The Bible is telling us we need to care about people. We need to love our fellow church members. We need to salute them. We need to greet them. We need to see if they have a need and try to meet their needs. We need to greet them by name and try to know the people in the church. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, he said, to know them which labor among you. Right. Know them. And what does he mean by that? Know who they are. Get to know them. Be their friend. And God has given us the local church not to be like a movie theater or something where we show up, we pull down the seat, we pull out the popcorn, and we watch the show. That's not what the local church is. And so many people even today don't go to church, but instead they just watch church on computer, watch it on TV, listen to it on the radio. That's not church. Now, I'm all for listening to preaching outside of church as a supplement. You know, sometimes during the week, I will download preaching and listen to it as a supplement. You know, I like to listen to sermons from my friend Pastor Roger Jimenez or from Brother Dave Burzins or other great preachers. When I was younger, I got a lot of spiritual growth from sermons that I would get on cassette and on CD from people and listen to those sermons to grow in the faith and learn more. But it was never a substitute for church, and it never should be. Because church is not just about listening to a sermon. Yes, that's part of it. But a part of the assembly or congregation is getting together with the people and the other believers and getting in a congregation where you know people and you greet people and you salute people and you love people, and you don't get that from a TV screen or a computer monitor or a radio. You get that from physically assembling with God. Well, there's no good church in my area. You know what? You need to go to the best church that you can find.
Right.
Go to the best one.
Amen.
And today, if you live in America, in any major city, there are churches. Yeah, they're going to have things that you don't like. But honestly, you can find a church where the people are saved and where there's a King James Bible being preached.
Right.
And you just go there and just love people and make friends and be a part of that congregation. And if you say, well, no, I just can't find any, then you need to move somewhere else and get to a church where you can be excited about going there then. But you need to get in church. You need to be there. It's important. And the big part of church that a lot of people are missing today, because we live in a spectator-type society, is the interactive, being friendly, meeting people, talking to people, building relationships with people, breaking bread from house to house, you know, eating a meal with people and enjoying fellowship one with another. It's important. Look at Malachi chapter 3. It says in verse 16, I love the 3:16s of the Bible. A lot of great scriptures that are 3:16. You know, Genesis 3:16, John 3:16, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, Galatians 3:16. Here's Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. I mean, isn't that just a great thought? They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They're not isolated. They're not doing their own thing. They're not a hermit. The people who loved the Lord and feared the Lord spoke often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Do you know the difference today, like it says in that last verse, between him that serves God and him that doesn't? Between the righteous and the wicked? There's a difference, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't there a difference between the people in a godly, Bible-believing church and the people out there? There should be. There should be a huge difference between God's people and the people of this world. And the Bible is constantly telling us over and over again that we need to have fellowship with God's people. That we need to have the deepest friendships with God's people. When we go to get married, we need to marry one of God's people and not marry an unbeliever, not marry the unsaved. We need to have friends that stick closer than brothers that we find in the local church. The Bible says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible's saying, you know, you can even have friends that'll even stick closer to you than your brother. You could even be closer sometimes with a brother in Christ than a physical brother. Not to downplay the relationship of your physical brother. Hopefully you have a great relationship with your brother, but the Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Okay, we need to develop these type of friendships. We need to speak often one to another. We need to greet and salute people when we come to church, not just get here. And sometimes people just get here late and they're gone early and they're the first one gone and they're the last one here. And they just get here and just get out of here. And they're kind of missing the point a little bit.
That's right.
Of why we're here, you know. And by the way, you don't just come to church to see what you can get. You also go to contribute to the group.
Yeah.
And part of the way that you contribute is just by being here and being a friend and greeting people and talking to people and being friendly. You know, just by coming to church and just being here a little early and just saying hi to people and talking to people and smiling and getting to know people, you're actually serving the Lord, because that person is more likely to come back now. That person who was a little shy about even coming here in the first place, a little nervous to try a church for the very first time, when you go to them and greet them, when you smile at them, when you ask them about their life and get to know them, you're helping that person to get established and grounded in our church. And that is something that you can do to serve God when you come to church. By just being friendly. It's what God commanded you to do. By saluting people. By greeting them by name. That's what the Bible wants us to do. Now, I had to jet out of here super fast this morning, which I don't normally do, but I had to leave really fast this morning because I had to do an interview that was at 12 o'clock, and it was something that I don't normally do, but I just jetted out of here really fast. But let me say this, though. A lot of times when I'm done preaching, sometimes I'm just not really able to do a lot of socializing because sometimes I just leave it all out on the field, you know? Sometimes I just preach so hard that I just need to go sit down somewhere, okay? And I can't always do it. But most of the time, you'll see me after the service greeting people and talking to people and trying to get to know people. And you know what? I don't just go to the same person every time. Just, you know, saluting my brethren only. Just go to the same people, the same three people, and just talk to them. You know, I usually on a Sunday morning try to seek out the ones that I don't know that well, the ones that are new, the ones I haven't talked to much, and go to them, try to get to know them, figure out, you know, what's going on in their lives, get their names, try to learn something about them, be friendly, let them know that I'm glad that they're here. Yep. This is something that we should be doing, but I'm one person, and I cannot do this by myself, especially after preaching a sermon. I'm not always, you know, able to do everything that I need to do. We have visitors in almost every single church service. I mean, what do we have, 5 visitors this morning? Hardly a service goes by in our church, especially on Sunday mornings where we don't have a multitude of visitors. You need to be talking to these people. You need to be friendly to these people. But let me say this, though. That it shouldn't end after their first time visiting. Because you know what I've noticed sometimes? When a first-time visitor comes, people greet them and say hi to them, get to know them. Then it's like that person just doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. You know, the second time, the third time, the fourth time. Okay. Anybody that you don't know, and I don't care if they've been coming for 6 months. I don't care if they've been coming for a year. I don't care if you've both been here for years. You need to talk to that person and say hi to that person. If there are people in this church that you don't know, you need to get to know them. You need to get to know, you need to meet them. And you need to go into Sunday morning services with a mentality that says, I want to meet somebody new today. I want to get to know somebody new. I want to meet a new family. I want to meet a new single person that's here. I want, you know what? I've seen those people sitting over there for weeks. I don't know who they are. I want to go greet those people. I want to greet them by name like the Bible told me to do. I want to salute people and let people know that I love them, that I'm glad they're here. Look, are you glad when people are here?
Yes.
I'm glad. I mean, who's glad when people are here, when you see a full house? You know, this morning we almost broke the record again. I mean, we break our attendance record almost every week. And today we're only 2 short of breaking it this morning. You know, don't you like that? I mean, you like to see all the fresh faces. You like to, hey, let those people know that you're glad they're here. Get to know those people. Care about these people. We don't want our church to grow just simply so that we can just have a bunch of people in a building. Just cram a bunch of people in a building. No, we want people because they're people. Because they're human. Because we love them. Because we want to get to know them. We want to fellowship with them. We want to serve the Lord and get in the battle with them. And we need to work on that as a church, saying, I'm not just going to be friendly to a first-time visitor. I'm going to be friendly to the person that's been here a month. I'm going to be friendly to the person that's been here 2 months. If there's somebody that you don't know, you need to get to know that person. There are people who come here week after week that you don't know. And we need to get to know them. It's important. We need to be friendly people. We need to smile and salute people and greet people. And I don't have time. If you want, we can turn to all 50 salute scriptures. We can turn to all 20 greet scriptures. That, you know, Paul is saying, man, salute Rufus and salute Priscilla and Aquila and salute. He's just listing name after name after name of people who we've never even heard of. We don't even know who these people are, but they meant something to him. They were his fellow laborers in the cause of Christ, and he wanted to make sure that they knew he was thinking about them, that he cared about them, that they mattered to them. Church should be like a family, a brotherhood. The Bible says love the brotherhood, not just an impersonal where we just show up and just we're all here just to see Pastor Anderson. No, you ought to be here to see each other. Amen. Be friends with each other. Right. It shouldn't just be, well, we all know Pastor Anderson and he knows us. No, know each other. It's a church. It's a group. It's not just a one-man show. It's never been that way. And look, many people in our church are really good at this. Others need to work on this. And that's why I'm preaching about it, because we need to be. And you say, well, I'm just not really that type. Then change.
Amen. Amen.
Then repent if you're not that type. Well, I'm just not the type that greets people. I usually wait for people to come greet me. Well, then shame on you, because a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You can't sit there and wait for everybody to come to you and be friendly to you and approach you. Why don't you be the one who reaches out the right hand of fellowship, as the Bible says? Why don't you be the one who does the greeting and the saluting? Why don't you be proactive about meeting people and making people feel welcome in our church? And look, I know it's in your heart. I know you're glad they're here. I know you're glad to see them. You know what? You need to show that to people. You need to let them know that you're glad that they're here. You need to be friendly and let people know. It's interesting, just when I was studying the subject of friends, you know, I found, of course, the famous verse in Song of Solomon 5:16 that says, his mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Basically, a husband calling her wife, or I'm sorry, a husband calling his wife his friend. Did I get that right? Or is it the wife calling the husband? Or I don't know. I'm so mixed up anymore in 2014. But anyway, it's a wife. Let me just slow down and get this right. It's a wife calling her husband her friend. Okay, so the Bible is teaching us that our spouse should be our friend. So my wife should be my friend. You know, your wife should be your friend. Your husband should be your friend. Okay, show yourself friendly in your marriage. What does that mean? Salute your spouse. You know, be friendly to your spouse. Treat them with love and affection, and quit waiting for them to be friendly to you. Why don't you give them a reason to be friendly to you by being friendly to them? And, you know, if you wonder why your spouse doesn't want to spend time with you, ask yourself, how well are you treating your spouse? Because the better you treat your spouse, the more you show yourself friendly to your spouse, the more friendly they're going to be to you. And you have to understand that within marriage also. That's the way it works within a church. That's the way it works in all of life's relationships, in a family, brothers and sisters, parents and children. We need to be friendly people. We need to show ourselves friendly, as the Bible says. Now, look, if you would, at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter number 2. And we'll see more of this fellowshipping that God's people do within the church all throughout Scripture. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So they continued in the teaching. Doctrine is teaching, the teaching of God's word. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. See how the fellowship is an important aspect here? And then it also says in breaking of bread and in prayers. Look at verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now, why is this so important? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Why is it so important that we are friendly at church, especially? And you know, obviously we should be friendly in other areas of life as well, but I'm kind of focusing tonight on being friendly when we come to church. Being friendly to our fellow church members that have been here a long time. Being friendly to people who are brand new, first-time visitors, third time, fourth time, you know, still keep on getting to know people and greeting people. Why is it so important? Because pretty much everybody in this world is going to have friends. Everybody in this world has some kind of a friend. And the question is, who are your friends going to be? Well, look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And here's the phrase I want to focus on. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? When you're living a righteous life, you don't have a lot of fellowship or a lot in common with the unsaved. And when you go around with all of your friends being unsaved type people, ungodly people, that's going to have an influence on your life, because if you're going to have fellowship with the unrighteous, you're going to have to become a little bit unrighteous. Yep. And it becomes a bad influence on you. It drags you down. Now, obviously, yeah, you could be friends with other believers that go to other churches that aren't a part of our specific church. But we need to make sure that we are friends with people that are saved, and not only just saved, but people that love the Lord, people that want to be a righteous Christian, because it's going to help us to grow and to stay on track, to hang around with those kind of people. It's important. Now, you may say, well, I just don't really have that need in my life. I've already got a few friends. That's all I need. Okay, but what about the person who comes to our church that doesn't have any friends? And you're not talking to them. You're not being their friend. Okay, they're getting their friend somewhere else. And maybe if they could get some good Christian friends in our church, that could help them grow. That could help them become a better Christian. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Again, marriage is where this would be paramount. I mean, when you're getting married, the number one consideration should be, is this person saved? Because that is, as I pointed out from Song of Solomon, your spouse is your friend. And so if you're going to enter into the deepest, most intimate friendship of your life, it better be righteous with righteous. It better be believer with believer. You're going to have all kinds of problems. It says, what communion hath light with darkness? Verse 15, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Infidel just means unbeliever. And what agreement at the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God's telling us, don't get yoked up with the unsaved. Have communion, have fellowship, have concord with God's people. And iron sharpeneth iron, the Bible says. You're going to help each other to grow in the Lord. Now, turn, if you would, to Proverbs 27. Proverbs chapter 27. And then put your finger in Hebrews 10. That's where we're going next. Proverbs 27 and Hebrews 10 are the two I want to point out to you. While you're turning to those two, I'll read for you some other scriptures. The Bible says in Philippians 1:3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I mean, he was thankful for the fellowship that he had with these people. He prayed for them. 1 John 1:3 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We need to have fellowship when we come to church. That's the purpose of being in church, is to assemble with people, not to just be here to watch a show. That's the purpose of having a church activity. That's the purpose of going on the camping trip. That's the purpose of going out soul winning even. Yes, it's to get people saved, but you'll never have better fellowship than the fellowship you get out soul winning. Amen. When you go out soul winning, it's a great time of fellowship. You get to know people, because when you're going between the doors, you talk to people. And between doors, you're getting to know one another, you're fellowshipping, and then you get to share all these great soul winning experiences. You share the victory of getting someone saved. You share the defeat when the person rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. But you're right there with them, in the yoke with them, serving God with them. And you're not just winning souls, you're also building a relationship with your fellow Christian by going out soul winning. It's a great way to fellowship, is going two by two into the harvest field, working together. Now in Proverbs 27 verse 5, it says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now when the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend, this is telling us that sometimes your friend will say or do something to you that might hurt you, but they're actually doing it for your own good. Yep. That's what it means when it says faithful are the wounds of a friend. They're not hurting you because they just want to harm you. It's rather that they're doing it for your own good by openly rebuking you when you need to be rebuked. See, when you have a godly Christian friend, they can be there to tell you when you're wrong. The world is not going to tell you you're wrong about the things that you need to be told that you're wrong about. You know, the world's not going to condemn you for drinking a beer. Are they? Nope. Are the people at work going to condemn you when you divorce your spouse? Nope. Nope. They'll just tell you, oh yeah, I've divorced the first three of mine too. Don't worry about it. We've all been there. That's what they'll say. They're not, I mean, when you start complaining about your husband or your wife to worldly unsaved people, they'll just, oh yeah, you need to move. It's time to move on, honey. I mean, unless you're just sure that you're still in love with him, and unless you're just having the time of your life, unless this is just the best thing that's ever happened to you, it's time to move on. That's what the world will tell you. And when you tell them, I'm thinking about divorcing my spouse, they're not going to rebuke you and say, shame on you. When you say, hey, let's drink a beer, they're going to say, let's do it. When you want to do everything that's ungodly, when you want to skip church, when you want to not go soul winning, when you want to skip reading your Bible, when you want to go out and do worldly things and go to the dance club and the bar, and you want to go out and do all this stuff, they're going to be right there with you to back you up, to bolster you, and to encourage you to do all those things. Whereas your godly Christian friends will tell you, no, you're wrong. You need to stop criticizing your wife. You need to stop criticizing your husband. You need to love your spouse as Christ loved the church. That's what your godly Christian friend will tell you. And they'll tell you divorce is not an option because the Lord hateth putting away. And the Bible says, whosoever, you know, marrieth her that is divorced committeth adultery. You know, that's what the Bible teaches, that if you divorce your spouse and marry another, you're committing adultery. That's what your Christian friend will tell you. That's not what the world's going to tell you. In Hebrews chapter 10, flip over, here's a perfect example of what we see in Proverbs 27 when he says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews 10, 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And the first thing I want to show you about that scripture is that we need to consider one another. Meaning, don't just think about yourself, think about other people. And when you come to church, it's not just about me, me, me. What can I get out of the sermon? What can I get? I need to get encouraged. I need to be built up. Why don't you consider one another? Amen. What can I contribute? How can I help the people around me? He said, you know, consider one another. Think about the needs of one another. And he says, think about provoking them to love and to good works. What does it mean to provoke? Provoke, if we break down just the etymology of that word, means to call forth. You know, voke, like a vocation, would be a calling. Pro means forward. You know, to provoke is to call them forth, to basically call them out and basically inspire them and motivate them to do something. If I'm provoking you to love and to good works, it means I'm saying or doing something that will get you to do those good works and that will get you to love people. Through what I've said and what I've done and through the influence that I've had on your life, God is telling us, consider one another. Did he say, pastor, consider the people? No. No, he said, consider one another. This is everybody's job. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, watch this, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That is saying that as we see the day approaching, what day? The day of Christ, the day of the Lord. As we see that day approaching, the Bible says we need to not forsake the assembly. And people are forsaking the assembly today more than they ever have. And that's exactly why God put that verse in the Bible that said, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Because he knew that in 2014 people would be getting out of church. And let me tell you something, we're closer to the day of the Lord than we were in 2013.
That's right.
We're closer to the day of the Lord than when this was written. We're closer to the day of the Lord than we were 20 years ago. As we see the day approaching, I mean, do we see the signs of the times?
Yeah.
Okay, then we better be in church. We better not forsake the assembly as the manner of some is. And let me tell you, there are a lot of people today, they're even teaching people to get out of church.
Yeah.
First, it was just that giant-eared weirdo out in California, Harold Camping.
Wait, the church age is over. We need to leave the churches.
You're like, who listens to this guy? One time I was listening to a recording of one of my own sermons, and I put it down to half speed. And I sounded identical to Harold Camping. And I was like, no, I'm Harold Camping. You know, it was literally just identical. It was uncanny. I'm like, turn in your Bibles. So, yeah. It used to be just that goofball out in California on public access TV. I used to turn on TV as a kid and see Harold Camping when I lived in Sacramento, California. And he's the one who predicted that Christ was coming back March 21st, 2011. Put billboards up all over California. The Bible guarantees it. Just because the devil wants to destroy people's faith in the Bible. So he said, oh, the Bible guarantees that Jesus is coming back on March 21st. Then when it doesn't happen, you know what people say? Oh, the Bible was wrong. Even though the Bible never guaranteed any such thing. And he had people send in millions of dollars because the world's going to end on March 21st. And he's like, oh, whoops, psych, it was October 21st. Send in more money, more money, more money. And then October 21st rolls around, Something happened up in heaven. Just didn't happen down here. That's what they always say. Yeah. It's what the Jehovah's Witnesses said. It's what the Seventh-day Adventists said. Whenever these comings of Christ fall through, it's always like, oh, it just happened up there. It's a fraud. Yep. But this Harold Camping has been preaching for years about how people need to leave the churches. Get out of church.
Church is all apostate. All churches are bad. Every church is bad. We need to leave the church. The church age has ended.
All this stuff. And that's the only person that I heard saying that. Except now, everybody's saying it. It's all over the place. It's everywhere. Now it says, oh, there's no good churches left. There's no good church. And I've heard people even say,
well, you know, in the tribulation, yeah, we're not going to be going to church in the tribulation. You think we're going to be going to church in the tribulation?
I'm going to be in church in the tribulation.
Amen.
You know, so much the more as we see the day approaching, I'm being assembled together with God's people.
Amen.
Either that or I'm getting my head cut off or running into the wilderness or something. But you know what? If I'm in Tempe, I'm going to be at church. And I'm telling you, as we see the day approaching, we don't need less church. We need more church. And this garbage that says that in the last days there's no good church, then why'd he say to keep assembling even in the last days? More than ever, it's needed. But not only did he say to assemble together, everybody, you're here. You've already fulfilled that part of Hebrews 10:25 by being here, right? Everybody's here. You've all succeeded tonight at assembling. Okay, how about exhorting one another? Because the obedience of this verse is not just to assemble, it's also to exhort one another to do what? Not to forsake the assembly. So it's not enough to be in church, you need to also be motivating other people to be in church and to stay in church. That's what, let's read it again. It says in verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Look at that colon at the end of verse 24. Now he's going to tell us what those good works are. Or at least an example thereof. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That means that when somebody quits coming to church, we need to contact that person and try to get them to come back to church. And try to exhort them and say, hey, we missed you at church. Not in a rude, condescending, judgmental way, but rather just in a way that says, hey, man, we missed you. You know, are you coming? Now, a lot of people, too, will have this attitude toward people that are Sunday morning only type people. You know, because there are a lot of people who only come on Sunday morning, and then there are those that come three times a week. You know, what I call three to thrive. You know, the three to thrive Christians that come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They're not trying to just be on a starvation diet of Sunday morning. They're thriving. All three services. Okay. Now, I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, so you're back for Sunday night. You're back for more. But let me say this, the people on Sunday morning, the ones who only come on Sunday morning, you need to salute them and greet them and be their friend and not just have this attitude of like, well, yeah, I don't know them because they only come Sunday morning. That's why I don't know them. I mean, if they went soul winning, I'd greet them by name. I mean, if I saw them on Sunday night, I might greet them by name. Yeah, on Wednesday night, I'll greet them by name. But these people that are Sunday morning only, I'm not going to take the time. That's a bad attitude. It's a horrible attitude. So what if they only come Sunday morning? You know what? We need to love people wherever they're at in their Christian life and their spiritual growth. Pretty much all of us were Sunday morning onlys at some time in our life. We've been at that stage. We've been in that phase where we were a Sunday morning glory. That doesn't mean that we should just not consider them part of our church because they are part of our church. And many people on Sunday morning, you know, they love the Lord. Sometimes they're Sunday morning only because they're driving from over an hour away. There are multiple people in our church that drive from an hour away. And maybe that's why they're Sunday morning only. And by the way, a lot of people, there are people in our church who will come on Sunday mornings maybe three times a month, two times a month. And you might think to yourself, oh, those people aren't very faithful. But they actually have a church in their area an hour away that they go to all the other services.
Yep.
They like our church. They come here when they can, when they want to make that two-hour round-trip drive. But on the Sunday nights and on the Wednesday nights, they've got a local church where they're at. So you don't always know people's situation. You need to just realize that if somebody's in our church, we're just glad that they're here and we want to love them and help. Plus, Maybe somebody's a new believer. Maybe somebody's not real mature in the faith. Maybe that's why they only come 2 times a month, 3 times a month. But let me say this. If you would reach out to them and befriend them, maybe they'll come more often. If they know that they've got a friend there. Maybe they'll go because they know that there's important fellowship. Because a lot of people will show up on Sunday morning and then they kind of think, oh, I'll just download Sunday night. Just download Wednesday night. But they can't download you. That's why we need to be their friend and show them some fellowship. If they show up and they get the preaching plus the fellowship, then they'll come back for the preaching and the fellowship. And then they'll be back Wednesday night for the preaching and the fellowship. Whereas if it's just only about the preaching, they might just come on Sunday morning just to say, hey, I did the assembling like the Bible said. I did my minimum by showing up. And then they might just download the preaching on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I don't know about you, but I like to have everybody here on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Amen. I like a full house on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I like all of God's people fellowshipping all the time. So much the more as we see the day. We need these friendships. We need this fellowship. We are living in some perilous times. We are living in some crazy times. And there, out there, it's a madhouse out there. Yes. It is a jungle out there in 2014 America. It seems like sometimes we're living in the Twilight Zone. Yeah. It's crazy. Yep. It's madness. We need to come to a place like this just to get some sanity. Yeah. Just to get a breath of fresh air. Just to realize, okay, normal people. Normalcy. Wow. People who actually have a halfway traditional value system. Instead of out there in the world where everything is just so backward and topsy-turvy and unscriptural and ungodly, we need it more than ever to be in church. We need iron that sharpens iron. We need Christians who exhort one another and pray for one another and strengthen one another and help one another and find out what people need and give it to them and help them with it. Figure out, you know, what they need to, and what you can do to help them. And it's a blessing to do so. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Did you hear that? A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Look, in this church, we're both. We are brothers in Christ. And so when the Bible says a brother is born for adversity, it's saying that your brother is going to be there for you in times of adversity. When you are going through trials and tribulations, your brother is one that's going to be there for you. Both your physical brother, God willing, and also your spiritual brother. And he says a friend loveth at all times. That means when the friend is down and out, you love him anyway. When the friend is injured and can't do anything for you, you go to them and help them. You visit them. When your friend's in prison, you go visit your friend in prison. And you know, that's to him. He's in the hoosegal for the next 10 years. No, you go visit your friend. You stay faithful to your friend even when they go through hard times and struggles and illnesses and injuries and imprisonment and whatever else, financial problems and whatever. You love your friends and you love your brethren, and in church it should be both. This should be our friends. This should be our brothers and sisters in Christ. What do we do? How do we put these scriptures into practice? A lot of scripture. I didn't even turn to all. I mean, a lot of scriptures on friendship. A lot of scriptures on salutation. A lot of scriptures on greetings. How do we apply this? How do we make it practical? What do we do to obey these scriptures? Number one, salute everyone. Salute everyone. I mean, I go to the grocery store, I salute everybody. You know, I learned this from my friend Mike years ago. He called it running for office. Because whenever I would go with him to the grocery store, he'd be saying hi to everybody. And I was like, man, you say hi to everybody. He said, well, I'm running for office. You know, he's just joking. But honestly, man, everywhere I go, I'm running for office. Just, hey, how's it going? Hi. Smile, friendly. You know, maybe that'll be practice for you. So when you come to church, you might actually say hi to people. Amen. And be friendly to people. And get to, well, I'm just shy. Change. Amen. Well, I'm just not the type to approach people. Then get boldness. Pray for boldness. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And today, in this electronic age where everybody's just got all their friends on Facebook and their friends on YouTube, you know, it's like they don't know how to interact with human beings anymore. Get some practice. Here's your homework assignment. All week, everywhere you go, smile and say hi to people. Then you might actually learn how to interact with human beings. Then when you come to church, you'll be able to interact better and be more friendly and greet people. I mean, I go to the post office, I'm friendly, I'm smiling, I'm greeting people. I go to the grocery store, I'm friendly, I'm smiling, I'm greeting people. Why? It's just practice. And you know what? It's just a good testimony too. Especially when I'm wearing my After the Tribulation t-shirt and I'm friendly. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, it's just a good testimony. Because you know what it shows? It shows that you're not prideful and arrogant and haughty. Because if you notice that prideful, arrogant people, they don't smile and greet you. Yeah. Think about that. Just think about that for a minute. What kind of person, when you're out in public, smiles and is friendly and greets you? Versus what kind of person wouldn't even give you the time of day? The person that wouldn't give you the time of day, the person that wouldn't salute you or greet you or smile at you is a prideful person. They're arrogant, they're snobby. It's like, I don't have time for you. I'm not going to greet you. Who are you? All right. Now, I understand this could be a cultural thing in different parts of the world. Sometimes in some areas, if you greet people, it freaks them out because they're so, you know, in New York City. Oh, man, don't listen to this part of the sermon. You know, if you're in New York City, because we have these girls here from New York, when you're in New York City, you know, hey, how's it going? It's like, whoa, you got a problem? What's going on? You know, nobody greets you in New York. You know, if you're in like, I remember one time I was at a restaurant in like Rhode Island, Massachusetts, somewhere like that. And I was friendly with the waitress. She thought I was trying to get her phone number. So I'm like, whoa, I'm married, you know, because it's just nobody's friendly there. And the person I was with, I was like, what is going on with this waitress? And he's like, you can't be friendly to the waitress. This is Massachusetts. You know, people aren't friendly. This isn't California, buddy. You know, you can't be friendly. People take it the wrong way. But honestly, you know, in Arizona, you can be friendly to people. Yeah. In California, you can be friendly to people. In the South, good night, you can be really friendly to people. In the South, everybody greets you. In the South, people walk up to you and start talking to you, and you're like, do I know you? Like they've just known you their whole life. You know, in the South, you'll be in line at the grocery store, there's like 15 people in line. No three's a crowd policy, like we have here, you know, where there's never more than three people in line at the grocery store. In the South, there'll be like 20 people in line, and everybody's talking to you the whole time, like they've known you their whole life. You know, then you go up to New York, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, nobody will look at you. Nobody will talk to you. Nobody has time for you. Okay, so yeah, there are cultural differences, but I don't know about you. God told me to salute everybody. I'm just going to salute everybody. Amen. God told me to salute. Don't salute your brethren only. Yeah. Do more. Amen. Salute everybody. And good night. If we're talking about saluting people at the post office, can you salute people at church? These are your brothers. These are your sisters. These are your friends. At a minimum, you should be greeting everybody at church. And by the way, greet the friends by name. And it's hard to learn everybody's name, especially because our church is growing fast. Constantly new people are coming in. It's challenging. It's difficult. But you know what? Try to get to know people. Try, you know, our church is not too big to know everybody. Try to know everybody. And even if you can't, just do the best you can. Just honestly go into Sunday mornings, even go into Sunday nights and Wednesday nights of, hey, let's meet somebody new. Let's make somebody feel welcome. Not just let me go to my two buddies that I always talk to every time and talk to my same two buddies every single time. Especially not on a Sunday morning, because you'll probably see those buddies on Sunday night. You'll probably see them on Wednesday night. You'll see them out soul winning. Use that Sunday morning time. I think it's great that when an unsaved person comes to our church, they get the gospel because someone asked them about it. But let's not just let it stop there. Oh, you're saved? Well, then nuts to you. You know, if they're not, oh, you're not saved? Okay, I'll spend 15, 20 minutes with you giving you the gospel. Oh, you're already saved? See ya. Never talk to you again. Come every week for 3 months and I'm never going to talk to you again. They're saved. My work here is done. No, it's not. You need to now, you know, befriend that person. Show yourself friendly. That's how you put this sermon into practice. You obey the Bible to salute. You obey the Bible to greet. You obey the Bible to show yourself friendly. You obey the Bible when it tells you to greet the friends by name. You obey the Bible when he tells you to speak often one to another. You obey the Bible when he tells you to love the brotherhood. You obey the Bible when he tells you to assemble and sharpen one another and exhort one another and to see your brother have need and to help your brother in Christ if you have this world's good. That's what it's all about. That's what God is telling us to do over and over again. Let's put it into practice. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the church, Lord. It's a blessing. It's a gift that we even have a church to go. There are people in other parts of the world that they don't have fellowship of like-minded believers. And here we are in a building with 100 people who believe just like us, and they love the same word that we love, and they love soul winning like we love, and it's a blessing. On Sunday morning, there's we have over 125 people this morning, Lord. It's a blessing to have all these friends. Help us to take advantage of the fact that we have an assembly like this, and not to just blow in, blow out, and just not really know anybody or greet anybody. Lord, help us to be a family and a brotherhood.